Okay, we're going to be in Romans 12, 1 through 8. We're going to read Romans 12, 1 through 2 to refresh our memory because everything builds off of that, because this is an ongoing message, if you will. It's part 2 of a 3 or 4 part message. All depends how much I get through today. Our focus today will be on verses 3 through 6. But we're also going to read on through verses 7 and 8 so you get an idea about spiritual gifts. So today our message is our reasonable service, part 2. Our relationship to each other. It means koinonia in Greek, true fellowship. True fellowship meaning belonging to one another, being members of one another in the body of Christ. And that means we will know and use our spiritual gifts to edify and build up each other, as God intended, as we are His body with Christ being the head. Amen? So that's what we're going to do today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore You. We thank You for who You are, who You have been, and who You'll always be. And Father, we thank You for the fullness of God being in our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who became a man, the God-man, to show us the way, to give us the truth, to bestow upon us the life we have in Jesus Christ, the consecrated life, the life that allows us to taste and see what is good and to prove Your good and acceptable and perfect will for our lives. So, Father, may You clear our minds from the things of this world. May they just go away. May You fill us to overflowing with Your Holy Spirit. May Your Spirit teach us today. Christ is our rabbi and our only rabbi. And, Father, may You just raise us up out of the sin that is in our lives. May we just continue to realize that we sit in Christ in the heavenlies and we are raised above all the things in this world because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So, Father, thank You for this message. May we be doers of the Word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week as a review to tie everything together, having studied Romans 12, 1 through 3, we learned how we're to become a living sacrifice. Let's go ahead and refresh our memories. Let's go ahead and turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've spent 2 weeks on these two verses, but this will tie everything together. We're going to learn today and learn on into the next couple of weeks. It says, Paul speaking here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does this mean? Well, we saw over the last few weeks that this means that Christ is formed in our heart. When does that happen? At the moment that we accept Jesus Christ. At the moment we're converted from a sinner to a saint. The moment that we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we have been declared holy, or otherwise the Holy Spirit couldn't live in us. These bodies is Christ's holy temple and He sits on our heart, and that's what it means that He's formed in our heart as He now rules over our lives. And we go forward as led, enabled, and empowered by His Holy Spirit. And as we walk forward in Christ, as He's formed as the Lord of our life in our hearts, we'll have that desire to do His will. And we are therefore transformed by the renewing of our minds as we're given the mind of Christ, by which we start making faith choices in our lives because we love God and desire to please Him. And we then set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're pulled up out of sin as we know now that we set in Jesus. Set in Christ in the heavenlies. Just as it says, Christ is seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, and you are seated with Him. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. We sit literally in Christ right now. You don't have to wait to be cleaned up. Christ is going to clean out His holy temple because the Holy Spirit is in there, and just like He turned over the money changer tables and released the doves in God's temple, He's going to do the same thing in us if we will allow Him to do it. What our goal and response in the love of God and the ability He gives us to do is to surrender and not hinder that process. but allow Him to clean us up. Clean us from the inside out. He'll transform us by the renewing of our minds. That's called in Greek metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis. We're literally going to be changed from the inside out. As Christ is formed in our heart, we have the renewing of our mind. We're changed from the inside out. And then guess what happens? We're conformed to the very likeness of Jesus Christ Himself. Because His Word says, those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, the firstborn of many brethren. We're the brethren. We're the members of the body of Christ. That's what church is all about. The body of Christ with Him as the head. And that's what we're going to look at more today. But continuing on with what we looked at last week, we also learned that we're all in this together as the family of God. And thus we learned three general principles concerning fellowship. We learned first, humble yourself. As grace is given to the humble, but God does what? He resists the proud. Secondly, we learn, be clear-minded, be sober, be clear-minded, be vigilant, keep a watchful eye. Don't think that just because you've overcome a sin in Christ that it may not come back and tempt you again, because once you start getting prideful that you've overcome something, guess what? That's when the fall will occur. Be clear-minded and vigilant. And when you see sin on others, may you ask God to search your own heart if He's showing you that sin to make it evident to you that you need to address this same sin. Because it's easy for us to see the splinter in someone else's eye as a plank sticks out of our own eye. We learned that as a godly principle or biblical principle last week as well. And third, we're to use the measure of faith God give you to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And to love one another as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Sacrificially. So we need to die to ourselves and put others first. That's what the love of God means. That's what koinonia means, or fellowship means. Putting others first, doing our part to further them in the kingdom of God. And that furthers us in that kingdom. Because we don't belong to this world anymore. We are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of God's kingdom right now. Though we still get to vote in this country, and we still are to pray for this country, we are truly citizens of heaven. Praise God He placed us in this country. And this country needs our help. He says, if My people will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear them from heaven, I'll forgive them of their sins, and I'll heal their nation. Turning this country around, whose responsibility is it? It's ours who belong to Christ. Amen. So we learned that principle also. So today, it also means, since we're all in this together, we're to have true fellowship or koinonia, as we belong to each other as God's family, and being conformed as a family affair. Hillary Clinton says that raising a child takes a village. Well, she was half right. To raise a Christian takes a village, takes the body of Christ. It takes us all working together to be raised up and encouraged and exhorted to become all that He desires us to, because each one of us serves a specific function that He desires us to do in this body, in the church. So we're all in this together. It's a family affair, and we're growing together as the body of Christ into the head, serving one another in His love. And that means we are to know and humbly use the spiritual gifts that are given us. And each one has received spiritual gifts, whether you know it or not. And we're going to look at next week how you know it and how you can use those gifts appropriately. And these are all given by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is our reasonable service. That's what it means, that we would be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, as that's our reasonable service. You don't just serve yourself. You serve God by loving others, right? What did Paul say? This all boils down. All of God's Ten Commandments boil down to one thing. Love one another as you love yourself. Well, what about loving God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul? Well, in order to love others as you love yourself, you got to love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Or it ain't going to happen. So that's where we're at in the body, in the mindset that we're to have, in the heart that Christ now sets on, that new heart that we're given at conversion. Each one of us is a member of Christ's body. What's a member mean? Just like these members we have of this body. It's a functioning part. It's not meant just to sit there. It's a functioning part. And thus, each person has a specific function to perform. So let's read Romans 12, 3 through 8. And again, I covered most of verse 3 last week. We're going to focus on the last part of verse 3 and go through verse 8 today with a focus on verses 4 and 5. And this will all unfold as we go. So it says in 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given to me," Paul speaking again, "to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." That's what it means. We're all in this together. We're members of one another. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." As an overview, what does this mean to us? By the measure of faith given to you by God, discover your spiritual gifts and use them as led by the Holy Spirit to do. This is our reasonable service, as we'll then prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. And spiritual gifts differ according to the grace given to each one. If we all had the same gift, we'd all be on the worship team. Well, it might not be a bad idea. We could sing to each other since we don't have a worship team. Or we would all be preachers. Everybody have to be standing up here preaching and teaching. No, that's not how it works. We all have different gifts because the body needs different functions to be performed in order for it to be healthy. Just as our physical body has different members. And each one of these members are used to glorify Him and serve the whole body and not the individual. So may we use those gifts faithfully and to build one another up in Christ's love. As spiritual gifting doesn't mean spiritual maturity. That's what happened with the Corinthian church. My pastor, senior pastor out of Discovery Bay in the San Francisco Bay Area used to say, Church of Corinth was the naughty church. They had all these spiritual gifts and they used them for their own purposes and for naughty purposes, for things that weren't meant to be, to build up themselves, to make money, to see how proud they were, to puff themselves up. Well, may we not do that. And that's why spiritual maturity and knowing how to use the gifts are equally important with knowing what your gift is so that we do not misuse them and bring attention to ourselves instead of magnifying Christ, who is the King. So this is going to be our continued focus today, as fellowship or koinonia means belonging to one another in harmony. Just like an orchestra or as a chorus would sing, they sing in harmony. And when anyone is off key or out of tune or whatever, it becomes noticeable. And then our role as the Holy Spirit would lead is to get them back on key, in tune, and performing as God desires them to in the church, as He would instruct us. So may we operate in harmony as a family of God, as this is a key component of our relationship with Christ. This is a key component. Fellowship is a key component with our relationship with Christ. The problem today is we're so in tune with being our individual selves with the cell phones and computers. People think they can sit at home now and just watch church on TV or watch church on the computer and think that they're doing their part in the fellowship of God. Well, that's feeding themselves, but they're not serving God and building up the body of Christ. What are they doing? They're being selfish and only serving themselves. That's not biblical. As Hebrews says, don't do like the others and stop having fellowship. Don't stop having fellowship. Be built up, encourage, and edify one another. That's what church is intended to do. It's not about you. just one person. It's about Christ and His body being encouraged and exhorted and built up by what each part of the body does. You, each one of you, is a part of that body and has a key role to fulfill in the health and the growth and the love of the church. You're very important. Don't hide that from the church. Don't keep it for yourself. Remember, self-righteousness is what caused Israel to fall. And only wanting it for yourself is self-righteousness. But yet I digress. So, we're all in this together. May we not hinder our relationship in Christ. May we come together in koinonia, a true fellowship, so we can persevere through this dark and dying world together as the family of God, as the whole world, our own flesh, and Satan are all against us. But Christ is for us. And as members of His body, we need to be for each other. We need to be fighting in spiritual warfare for each member of the body of Christ that belongs to us. That means we need to be praying for each person in this church to make it through the week, to grow in the spiritual lessons that God gives us, and to glorify Him in that process. This is what God intends for each one of us to do that serves His purpose. This is our reasonable service. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:15 through 16. Ephesians 4:15 through 16, just so you can see I didn't make this all up. And it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each and every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love." Let me read that verse again. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Edifying means being built up in His love, growing in our knowledge of His love. And you know, if you do a word search on knowing God, knowing His will, knowing His mind, knowing what He desires you to do, then you will get to the part where it says His divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. What are we trying to do in this world? We're trying to get through this world by knowing God and for Him to supply everything we need for life and godliness. And He does that through His divine power. His divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness through knowing Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. You want more power in your life? Come to know Jesus more and more each and every day. Studying the Word. Surrendering yourselves. Serving one another. Don't have to be in the church, but ministering. Ministering is a servant, like a waiter. That's how we come to understand what the Bible is all about, because it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You want to understand what God meant? Read the Word and apply it to your life, and then it'll give you the understanding. You don't have to understand it when you do it, but as you do it, you're going to learn, because you're going to be yoked to Christ. And He's going to teach you, because He's gentle and humble at heart, and we learn from Him. Amen? Matthew 11, 28 through 29. "And we will find rest for our souls." He will give us rest, and we also find rest for our souls. As His burden is easy and His yoke is light. Loose paraphrase. All right, so verse by verse, starting with the last part of verse 3. "By the measure of faith given you, humbly serve one another." So as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, He has given us the faith necessary, as it says in verse 3, to trust in God, to keep us humble, if only we'll ask Him to do so by searching our hearts, to try and test us, so we'll be led in the way everlasting, meaning we'll be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Remember, He says, "Now therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh." Well, how do you do that? Well, the first thing you do, you are certainly converted. You have Christ formed in your heart and you're being transformed. That means you're surrendering to God. He's changing your desires. He's changing your thinking from the things of this world to godly things. And we start making those faith choices as God would desire us to do. And as we start doing these things and we look around, we're going to start seeing sin on others. And we covered this last week, so I won't dwell on it much, but may that only be something that brings to our attention that that may be a sin in our life that God's trying to show us, because we have blind spots when it comes to our own sin. Others see it quite clearly, especially our spouses. But let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 139:23-24. David said this. Psalm 139:23-24. What did he say? Here was a man after God's own heart. This should be our heart, where Christ sets. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try or test me, as the NIV says, and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, let God perform a selfless humility examination on you. When you see somebody else sinning, say, God, search my heart. You've made it clear that that's a sin. Is this in me? And what does 1 John 1:9 say? That if you sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to do what? To cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what it's about. Cleanse me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Take this out of my life. Thank you for showing me. Not convicting my brother. The Holy Spirit does that. Certainly not condemning my brother, but learning from our family, as He will show us through the family of God where our faults are. And then as God would lead, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to instruct, well, rebuke, correct, and encourage people. But you're to do so as God would lead and guide, not as the Holy Ghost does, but as He would lead you to do. And this is all in accordance with Matthew chapter 18. All right, and you can look that up, how you're to do it in Matthew chapter 18. But the main thing is focus on yourselves. We got to start with ourselves, just like we ask for our daily bread. We got to have it happen to us first before we can look at others. Amen? Do I have an amen on that one? All right. The body is alive. I know there ain't many of us, but we got to be alive here. All right. Okay. Work with me. In Christ Jesus, of course. Also, we saw Peter as an example of humility learned the hard way. The hard way is learning in the flesh. As he denied Christ 3 times. But we also saw that as he denied Christ 3 times in chapter 21 after he received the Holy Spirit, Christ restored him 3 times. And each time he restored him, Peter was honest with himself, as Jesus would ask him twice, do you love me supernaturally? Do you agapeo me? Do you love me supernaturally? And Peter said, no, I just love you as a friend. And then the last time God asked him, do you love me as a friend? He says, you know all things. You know I love you in that capacity. And so each time Peter was restored, what else did God do? Remember, grace is given to the humble. Each time Peter admitted where he was in his walk with Christ, God gave him grace. Jesus, God, gave him grace. He says, first time, feed my sheep. Measure of grace to serve him. Second time, care for my sheep, a higher level of grace to serve God. And then the last time, when Christ came and met him where he was, because that's what Christ does to all of us, meet us where we are in our walk, he says, teach my sheep. In other words, you're going to be the elder. In fact, God later said, you're going to lead the other apostles. You're going to be the leader of the apostles. So every time he humbled himself and was restored, he received more grace. Every time we humble ourselves, as we learn a faith lesson because we failed, we receive grace to be raised up out of that sin and to be given greater responsibilities in our walk in the life of Christ. It's not about being on the mountaintop. That'll happen. It's about being in the valley where the fruit grows, where we're watered by the living water of God, and being convicted of our sins, because you know what? That seal of the Holy Spirit is conviction in our lives, right? Conviction and affirmation that we belong to God. Every time you're convicted about a sin, praise God, because you've affirmed your salvation. It's when you don't care that people have to worry. If you're being convicted, God's working in your life. Now get whatever it is out of your life. Turn it over to Christ, and then have those alligator arms right, where you can't reach up and get it again. Turn it over to God. See, my problem is I turn over to God and say, oh, no, give me back that worry. Give me back that anxiety. Oh, give me back that sin just one more time. No, have them alligator arms. And I'm not talking about Florida State or University of Florida. We're all Roll Tide fans here, right? Oh, just kidding. Auburn, whatever. I'm talking about alligators, how they got them short arms. You know, they can run really fast, but they can't reach very high. So we want to run very fast in this race that he's given us to do, but may we not reach up and take our sins back. Walk in Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Think of it as doing the gator. Do the gator. Act like that gator in that sense. So we saw Peter, what did he say? He said, be sober after he learned this. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, we're all in this together. All brethren are going to suffer persecution. If you're walking in Christ, the world's going to be against you. So don't think you're not going to be persecuted. In fact, as we said last week, if you're being persecuted, that means you're doing something right. But it also means to strengthen one another in the faith and go forward in Christ together as the family of God. So that was 1 Peter 5, 8-9. And also, by the mercies of God, most importantly, we've been given saving faith. That's the measure of faith he's given us. Saving faith that grows each and every time we prove God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Every time you've stumbled and you've had a sin and God's restored you, guess what? You prove what his good, acceptable, and perfect will is for your life, because he loves you and he cares for you. And he wants you to have that sinless life. Not that we won't ever sin, but it's not a habitual sin. It's not our character anymore. It's not our nature. We have a divine nature now. We're no longer sinners. We're called saints. And what does saints mean? Saved and inspired not to sin. Think of it as an acronym. Saved and inspired not to sin. Walking in Christ. Not that we won't stumble from time to time, but when we do stumble, use that as a growth lesson. Because this is a boot camp. What's God doing? He's preparing our eternal soul for heaven. We don't get a new soul when we get to heaven. We got the same soul. We don't get a new spirit. But praise God, looking at me, I'm glad we get a new body. Huh? Amen. What do you mean by that? Hallelujah. We get a new body, a glorified body. One that's going to be just like Christ when he came back, was risen from the dead, and we'll walk in that glorified body. And we'll serve then for eternity, Christ Jesus. And we will be perfect then. Mine. Spirit, soul, and body. Until then, we stand steadfast and resist the devil, standing steadfast in the faith, standing steadfast in the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. He gives us his love letter, the Word, the Bible, to teach us. And steadfastness comes from the renewing of our minds and a desire for ministry. You're all in ministry. The Word says that we all have the ministry of reconciliation, and we all serve as Christ's ambassadors. So don't think you're not in ministry. If you have been born again, you're a minister. Now find out what that ministering duty and role and function is. That's what is going to make your life the abundant life in Christ. So you'll have a desire for ministry. This is our reasonable service. As members of Christ, the body of Christ, that's what it means, the members of his church, meaning we're members of the body of Christ with him as the head, he gives us a piece of his mind. And what's the piece of his mind? To love one another, to follow him. He says, you are truly my disciples if you follow my teachings, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. And I know I've said this several times, that it's about following his teachings. You don't have to understand it to start following it. You just got to go. You don't have to understand why the light turned red. You just got to stop. You don't have to understand why the light turns green. You just got to go when it's green. All right, same thing. It's simple. We make it all complicated. Well, why would I have to do that? Well, try it and you'll like it. Taste and see that it is good, and you'll see later what it all meant as your life unfolds in the Spirit. This is our reasonable service. He gives us a piece of his mind by which we serve God humbly by putting others first. And again, others, I like to use joy as an acronym. Does anybody know what joy as an acronym stands for? Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. So when you have the joy of the Lord, what have you done? Put Jesus first. Love Him with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Others second. Loving one another as you love yourself. And then last, yourself. Because what did Jesus say? He says we're to die to ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Him. So you want the joy of the Lord? Get your priorities in perspective. His perspective. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You can't do it yourself. Go look at chapter 7 of Romans, how Paul said, what did he say? I don't do the things, I always get it back. I don't do the things I know I should, and then I do the things I know I shouldn't. This is a participating group here. This is the live body of Christ. So come prepared. We're going together in this. We're discipling one another. Don't try to do it yourself. Oh, I'm going to have joy. No, you're not. Ask God for joy. Ask Him to put people first in your life. Well, put Him first in your life, then people, and then yourself. Joy. Remember, that's a fruit of the Spirit. We'll have joy. And fruit of the Spirit are grown in us, in the love of God. And you know, when you have joy, you have peace. Because then you never have to guess whether you're saved or not. And then no matter what goes on in this world, you know, hey, all things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are thee called according to His purposes. So whatever's going on must be good for me, and that gives me joy. As I keep Jesus first, others second, myself last. And I'm preaching to myself, trust me. It ain't like I've attained already. What we learned about Peter last week? I won't ask you again. I've learned my lesson. let me think about this. I'll just go. What did we learn about Peter last week? No one's completely worthless. You can always serve as a bad example. All right? So don't be that bad example. Although God will use that. As each one of our testimonies was God using us as a bad example to show the contrast between how we were and how we are today. Amen? So that's not a bad thing. And remember, God helps those who help themselves in Christ Jesus. I think Spurgeon said that. People leave off that last part, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, now I'm about ready to get into today's message. All right, now we got through with verse 3. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So now Paul uses the analogy of the human body to show that many functioning parts make up the whole church. Many functioning parts make up the whole church. Just as our own body has many members, but each part must serve its purpose for the body to function normally. Otherwise, it's called you're sick, you're ill. Because if any part of your body stops working, even those parts you can't see, such as your nervous system, it quits working, it hurts. All right, and you can't function normally. You're down on your back. Or whatever part of your body you can think of. When it's not functioning right, the body's not functioning normally. Well, when each of us are not doing its intended purpose as God called us to do, we're not functioning as a fully performing body that He desires us to. Now, it may be just like a little hay fever. Or it could be something like sciatica where we're down in our back. It takes God to raise us up. Maybe that's where this church is today. Because we don't know and aren't using our spiritual gifts, or this church would be overflowing. Remember, healthy sheep multiply. Quit blaming me. Let's get healthy, sheep. Let's eat the word. Let's multiply. Go forth and be fruitful. Share what you know of God, His faithfulness, and His loving kindness. Everybody has that that's been saved. Simple stuff. And then, how you live is your best testimony. Doesn't matter what you say. It's how you live that's the greatest testimony and witness for Christ Jesus. Let me also emphasize this. There is no part of the body that serves no function. There's no part of your body that's along just for the ride. Now, they thought at one time the appendix didn't have anything to do with anything. They took them out and found out that people's immune system suffered. But you know, when it goes bad, you have to take it out. But there's no part of the body that doesn't serve a function except one, a tumor. And it's not meant to be there. Right? And I don't think there's any tumors in here. It's not a tumor. Right? We're a functioning piece of the body of Christ. May we operate that way. May we see and understand where we fit in and what we're to do and grow in this body, into the head of Christ Jesus. Therefore, as God's living sacrifices, He called and equipped each person to perform a specific function in the body of Christ, and He does so through spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 and see what the Word says about that. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, right after Romans. And He said this to the naughty church because they were misusing their gifts. So He clarified these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, which is the gifts of the Spirit being made evident, is given to each one for the profit of all. What was the Corinthian church doing? They were using these gifts, much like Balaam, trying to make money for themselves or bring attention to themselves instead of edifying the whole body and building up the whole body. It's for the profit of all. God gives you a spiritual gift, whether it's tongues, interpretation of tongues, whether it's helps, whether it's teaching, preaching as an evangelist, whether it's mercies, helping people through bereavement and not giving people what they do deserve, but giving them grace. If you have those giftings, you're to use them for the profit of all. Administration, whatever gift He gives us. And we're going to go over these next week. We're to use them for the profit of all. It's not to be self-serving. It's to be serving the body of Christ in the unity of faith. Bringing the whole body to the unity of faith as God would desire as the perfect man. We see here in these verses the triune God is at work. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. We're led by Christ to use those gifts. And those gifts are meant to fulfill the will of God the Father. So they're distributed by the Holy Spirit, directed by our Lord Jesus, and it's done to fulfill the will of the Father, to build up His family, the body of Christ. Remember, we have been reconciled to the Father through Christ Jesus. And He says now we're His children. So, He's at work. The triune God is at work in our church through each one of us doing our part and as called and equipped to do so. He's going to give us the equipment and the calling to do so. Well, I think I want to do this. No, He's going to tell you what you're going to do because He's going to enable you and empower you to do it. As it is the same Spirit that distributes Him, as I said, and the Lord that directs us, and the same God whose will is done, and they are given for the profit of all and not for our own individual gain, like we've seen so many times on TV. Name it and claim it. Whether you're starving to death or not, send me your money and God will provide. Like, oh, that's not what God says. We give out of the abundance that we have. And there's some he'll say to give sacrificially, but you know, for the rest of us, it's to give out of the abundance that God has given us. To show that we don't serve two gods, but Christ is our God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jehovah is our God. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. This is what we must understand and why ongoing fellowship is so important. True fellowship. Koinonia in Greek. What does that mean? We belong to one another as the family of God. And He never intended for us to be physically alone. He gave us each the fellowship, the church He knows that we need to be in. Because we can't see Christ anymore, but we can see each other and Christ in each and every one of us. And that reassures us. In Christ, that He is with us. He is among us. Remember, He says, when two or more are gathered, I am with you. What about if I'm by myself? He's there already. He's in you. But when two or more are gathered, guess what? You can see Him in the other person. So I see Christ. As I look out at this august body here, it took me a minute to think of it. This august body, I see Christ. I see what He has for us this day. And everyone here was meant to be here this day to hear this message. He knew before the foundation of the world who would be here and be ready and prepared to hear this message. And if you're ready and prepared to hear this message, guess what? You're ready then to apply it to your lives through surrendering to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Self-will has to be overcome. so that His will can be done. So He never meant for us to be alone physically. As human beings, He made us social creatures. And again, this church isn't just to come and socialize, though we are social when we love one another. He made us social creatures so that we could and would love one another. Could and would love one another. We're to socialize. We're not to sit at home and lay in bed and watch Charles Stanley on TV. Though I know he's a better preacher than I am. You're not getting in the body of Christ with him. Come here and suffer through this with me. Hey, pray for me. You know I need it. And I know you need it. And we'll help one another through this. Like the wagon wheel, we'll go through it. And we'll be in heaven together and fulfill the hope of the calling He's given each and every one of us. In this love, He knit us together in the unity of faith, and He equips us as His saints, saved and inspired not to sin. And He does this so that we'll serve each other. And by this, we grow up in all things into Him who is the head. In closing, let's read Ephesians 4:11-16. Ephesians 4:11-16. I gave a part of it in my opening remarks, but let's go ahead and look at Ephesians 4:11-16 and get the continuity of the text, which is context. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Not the equipping of the sinners. For the equipping of the saints. Who's in church? Saints. There are some sinners that come in until they're converted, right? But we're saints. Quit calling yourselves sinners. That's denying God's work in your life. For the work of ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Why are you here today? To know Christ, to grow in that knowledge of His love, and then to edify and build up this body with that love He's given you and the knowledge He's given you and the gifts He's given you. That's why you're here today. So let's stop here, and what I'll do is I'll pick up on this next week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore You. I keep saying that. Father, I say that over and over again so I don't forget it. Because You tell us to do these things in remembrance of You. That's communion. May Your Spirit commune with our spirit by remembering all that Christ has done for us. And may we also remember all He desires to do in, to, and through us by the Holy Spirit He's given to indwell us, and the Holy Spirit then that comes upon us. Indwelling us, we are enabled by the fruit of the Spirit to have the character of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, and to start making those faith choices. And then as Your Holy Spirit comes upon us, we have the gifts of the Spirit to fulfill the hope of the calling as You give us supernatural power, the resurrection power that raises us up to fulfill the hope of the calling that You've given each and every one of us. Father, and we know that those gifts are for today. It wasn't just for the apostles. Your word says it was for today, for all those who come to know the Lord. Today, tomorrow, and on into the future. So we thank You for that. We thank You for the love of Christ. I thank You for the willingness of the people to be here today. I pray for Your will to be done in each and every one of our lives. And we praise You and thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.